Welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster, and this is a very special week in the studio and on campus because it is MVP week. Behind me, you'll see that I have the MVP website pulled up. MVPs are very valuable to our developer population because they're the people out there, the volunteers who are out there in your communities, talking to you about how we're doing things in Redmond, all the different technologies that we're implementing. They're the guys that learn about the stuff and help us help you get good at the stuff. And we have quite a few MVPs on campus and around campus today, a lot of whom are here in the studio getting ready to be introduced to you. The first one that I'd like to introduce you to, I believe you've already met, my partner in crime, Corey Fowler. Corey is no longer an MVP because he actually works at Microsoft, and there's some sort of a rule that it's some sort of ethic thing, so we can't do both. But Corey was an MVP, and now he works here, and he's just as important as always as a Microsoft employee. So that's that. Next up, we have our guest for the day, who is actually an MVP, and his name is Benjamin Soyer. Is that right?
Yeah.
And Benjamin will be on the show for the remainder of the show today. I just want to do a quick introduction. He'll be talking to you about some really cool stuff. So don't go anywhere. The introductions won't last long. Next up, we have a good friend of mine from Virginia who he likes to tease me about how I left him and all this funny stuff. So I'm bringing Kevin Griffin on. Kevin Griffin is one of our ASP.NET MVPs, a good friend of mine, like I said, from Virginia. He runs an event called Mad Expo. So if you're in the Mid-Atlantic region, you definitely want to check out Mad Expo. I believe it's coming up in June.
June 24th through the 26th.
June 24th through the 26th. So check it out. MadExpo.us. MadExpo.us. Next up, I have a good friend of mine from Raleigh, Derek. Derek is a C# MVP who does a lot of interesting stuff with Windows. I believe you do some XAML as well. Derek pretty much knows it all. So he's kind of my man about town in Raleigh, North Carolina. Also from North Carolina, we have a VB MVP. Jim Duffy. Jim is also a regional director, I believe, for Microsoft down in North Carolina, my old home state, if you haven't picked up on the accent yet. Next up, we have Joel Cochran. Joel does a lot of client-side stuff. I believe he's Expression Blend. He's an Expression Blend MVP. He does a lot of Windows 8 stuff, XAML stuff. I'll get him to do phone at some point or another, so that'll be good times. Joel's also involved in a lot of events in the Virginia area, specifically Mad Expo, so you want to look him up on Twitter, Joel Cochran. And finally, we have our good friend John, who is also from the ASP.NET MVP area, and I believe he's also an attorney to some level.
I am, but I don't like to admit it.
He doesn't like to admit it. So that's that. So these are our MVPs out there in viewer land. Please give them a big round of applause. And if you're an MVP, please give yourself a round of applause. Without further ado, I'm going to kick them out of the studio now and get our guest of honor, Benjamin, back up here. So, Bob, cue the static.
If you're looking for a 1960 model, this may well be it. In the cockpit, or rather the driver's compartment, Mr. Burig operates the controls, closely resembling those of a plane. Thus, aircraft methods are becoming increasingly popular in automotive science.
Thanks so much for our MVPs coming in. It's great to see lots of MVPs around here. I know I miss it. It was a lot of fun going out and sharing the knowledge. So thank you to all our MVPs that are here this week. We really appreciate all your help.
All that aren't here this week.
Well, yeah, because there's tons of people around the world that are still doing their day-to-day and showing the love. Mm-hmm. So thank you, all MVPs.
And thank you for coming all the way from France to do the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, be good stuff.
Thanks
good
to
stuff.
You for getting me on board.
No problem. Cool. Awesome. So I don't know a lot about the demo that we're going to see today. I've seen it, but I have no idea how it works. He showed it to me at Build. You came to Build, and that's actually where we got to chatting. And you may have remembered AzureConf recently. We were going to bring Benjamin up for AzureConf, but timing wasn't right. It just wasn't going to work out. So we got together at Build, and he showed me this demo, and I said, you have to be on the show. So we sort of kind of made a gentleman's agreement that when he came back into town for the MVP Summit, which is this week, that we would have him on the show, and that's why he's here. And I've seen the demo. I have no idea how it works, and I'm really looking forward to, like you, knowing more about how this magic happens. So let's do this. I'll turn it over to Benjamin now.
I just prepared a couple of slides
just as an introduction. That's the feeling I had around this demo, and that's what inspired me, let's say, for building this kind of cool stuff.
Okay.
And I'm happy that it looks like it is.
It's very cool.
So the first thing I just wanted to chat briefly about is what I was calling the internet era, so when everyone was just having an internet connection and people were just surfing all over the web, and and then something happened that you needed to be, let's say, authenticated nearly in any place you wanted to actually connect to. And what happened is that you needed to either register, log in, or sign up. And this was just ending up of having your nickname or your email address with plenty of passwords all over the web. And at some point, I mean, depending on people and memory, usually, it can get pretty difficult to remember all of that. So that's the first point. So
lots of keys.
What I actually call the hoops, I got hacked trigger, that happens from some people. Didn't happen to me because I have strong passwords, but nevertheless, it happens to some people.
Yep.
What it just means is that once you get hacked, you are, let's say, more intended to actually pay attention of the passwords you're choosing. And you actually make also distinguishment between weak passwords that you don't really care about being hacked and very important passwords like your Facebook account these days is like the mother of all accounts. So well, don't want anybody to get in.
Right.
So.
The thing with Facebook that a lot of people the developer community is pretty good about it, but a lot of other people don't realize that you put so much information on Facebook that it's incredibly easy to get social engineered. Anyone that logs in, gets that account information, they can go off to, and you put great examples here, they can tie into your Amazon account just saying, here's my, you know, my phone number, here's my address, reset my password. So not only do you have to worry about your passwords, but you have to remember about anything, any kind of information people get that can tie them to other passwords. Yeah.
When you start to lose money with your credit card instead of Amazon, for example, that's a problem.
It's a big deal.
So, just a small example.
So,
as I was saying, so it will never happen because that's the part where people are freaking out and just, wow, I don't want that to happen anymore. So that's where the password craziness can start to enter. And just as a teasing about what I'm about to demonstrate, the last statement here is about any way of security aspect you can still consider these days, you actually have to type something on the keyboard. So whatever you're doing, you can just still lock your account for 30 minutes in a company, for example. So, I mean, you can go and grab a coffee, but you just can't do it like four times in a row, then your boss is going to complain. So just one that I pretty like also, that's the kind of what I call the incremental password syndrome. With companies where you actually have, I have again to change my password for the next month and I never remember my password, so you just start to increment.
Yeah.
So it's my password equals my password plus plus. That's why you just stayed like that. You have to bring your own device also issues with exposing your data and so on. That's plenty of complicated stuff. So just as a very brief summary, so everything which is on there is true. So user password copies all over the web, getting hacked, complex passwords to remember, remember too many complex passwords, so then it gets just pile up. And everything which is about having your identity spread over tens of devices, because these days people just only have a phone or a desktop. They have a phone, a desktop, a tablet, perhaps even an enterprise tablet, an enterprise phone, and then that can get pretty big.
Yeah, or the pool gets really big.
Or you have the flip problem where you have a federated login and you only need one password to get into everybody's stuff. So then you're then you're even in more trouble. So
So what are we going to talk about? QR codes. That's the spirit of the demo. So my first demo is about the mistyping point I've just been pointing out. The whole idea is to then use your smartphone as a key. And I, when I mean a key, I really mean it, because it's actually based on public-private key usage. And your phone is actually just building a connection with the server to actually connect you through the machine. So one easy statement that I was also thinking when I built that is you're in an internet cafe. You want to log to a very specific system, but you actually don't want to use this keyboard. Who knows if there's not a keylogger or something on the machine. Mm-hmm. Using your phone, which has, let's say, a more secure connections, using the data connections of your mobile operator, you can get this access to get authenticated without actually tapping anything on the device. That's perhaps a bit blurry. I'll just go in more details after that. So that's the slide which is almost important. That's the principle of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So here the user just open a browser, so he just wants to log into the server. The server just displays a QR code. Then the person just is going to take out his phone off his pocket, going to scan the QR code. This action will actually take some of the data from this QR code, sign it, send it back to the server. So nothing to do with the actual internet connection used with the browser. That's completely two separate streams. And then the server will just verify the identity and then log you on the website.
Cool. That's pretty cool. So I know that you'll talk more about the software that's on the phone.
Yeah.
But I would have to actually steal your phone to be able to log in as you. I couldn't use the same app on my phone and log into your account.
No. Right. As long as the device is actually provisioned with the certificate which stands with your identity.
Okay.
So this only fits on your phone. And for this version, because it's a demo, I didn't implement it, but my idea was also to have a PIN code on top of the application, which actually encrypts the key so that if you want to enter the device and you don't have the PIN code, you can't do anything about it.
Nice.
And you know, there's a feature of Windows Phone 8 that really calls that to light is the kids' corner. You know? If anyone doesn't have that kind of functionality, you hand someone else your device, you don't lock it down, they can open any app. So yeah, locking down the application with a PIN code is a really good idea.
Because it's very secure. I mean, we are talking really about security here, so.
Yeah.
Having a PIN code just because of that, because still people, I mean, myself, I'm doing it because we're talking about security again.
Yep.
I'm putting a PIN code on every of my phone. I never just let the phone like that, because whoever is going to take it can enter some crucial information, I mean, from my point of view, of course.
Nice. So just to like bare bones kind of wrap everything up for people out there, basically we're talking about two-factor authentication.
Yes.
Right? And you actually have to connect to the server previously to get a public key from that server. Like, you need to actually register the device, or does the app do that for you?
Let's say for the sake of the demo right now, the pieces which are about provisioning the phone are not part of the demo, but the idea would actually be to be inside of your company, for example, which is a secured environment, and then you get your device provisioned from within the company.
With the cert already on the phone.
Exactly.
Okay. And it's like your boss gives you your phone.
Yeah.
And the idea was also actually to use a QR code to do the same.
Oh, cool.
So actually, the QR code can get pretty big, but then the certificate itself is inside of the QR code and it's only displayed once on the screen. Okay. Once it's displayed, it's gone.
Yeah.
If the key is not persisted in the phone, you're bad. You actually have to regenerate a new certificate.
So in terms of BYOD that you called out earlier, if someone was to bring in their own device, we have a QR code set up that you just scan in whatever device you were to bring into the office.
Exactly.
That would get the key installed, and then you can go out and do whatever with the devices that you
have. And log in this, let's say, security critical system from any place.
Cool.
Still using the beauty, if I can call it like that, of public-private key, because when it comes to having something very secure, whatever password you're putting, using certificates is way, way better.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
So as we just do a wrap up already, so the phone app actually contains a certificate which has a private key. The site actually going to generate a QR code that contains the website address along with the browser ID, the session ID of the browser, let's say. And then the device is going to sign this message, sending it back to the server. And then the server will be able to figure out which session we are talking about and which user we are talking about, because it actually brings the thumbprint of the certificate. It verifies the identity with the public key of the user, and then it either lets him in or not.
Nice.
Regarding, cool.
So there is kind of a time bomb on this as well, because technically that session would still need to be active on the server. So, say yeah,
both. Let's say in both ways. What I did on the demo, we can have a look a bit later. Is there's the time bomb of the session on the server itself,
yep.
But there's the time bomb also in the certificate, because what I'm doing on the demo, for the few values that actually the phone sends, mm-hmm. it sends the thumbprint, it sends the hash, but along with that, it sends a tick,
okay.
which is actually the current UTC time that the authentication was happening.
Nice. Cool.
So just because of that, I think the timing that I did on the server is I give like a 5-minute time frame just if something goes wrong with
right.
the connection or whatever, to have the connection to the phone to actually perform the posting of the information on the yep. server.
Nice.
And if that's not happening, the person can still redo the authentication
yeah.
awesome.
Once more.
That's actually like one of the main things that I think a lot of people forget about when they're thinking security is security's great, but it really depends on how big of a window you give people.
Yeah.
To hack in around it. So having yeah. two time bombs where the server can expire it or the client already kind of has an expiration included in it is definitely a very important aspect.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah.
It's getting difficult then to replay tokens to actually yeah. enter the system. That's
nice.
Hard.
Nice.
So the second part of the demo, that's actually how it built. So the first part I just showed was just, let's say, the simplified way of showing it just for everybody to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other idea that I wanted to introduce is that you can still use this, what I call so QR code STS, so security code token service, mm-hmm. with your website, but you can also use plenty of other identities, so Microsoft account, Google, Facebook, whatever. And this works with plenty of your applications, so
yep.
for company A, but this can also work the same for any other companies. That's cool. about federation.
Nice.
Yeah.
So just making your service sitting behind this access control service layer helps in that regard.
Cool. Sounds good.
So now that we've kind of gone through the entire process, and it's really cool that you can do multi-auth still, but I think this QR code is really cool. So can we see a demo of it?
Yeah, awesome. Of course. So if we just focus back on the screen, I'm just not going to go in the code right now, but I'm just going to F5.
Yep.
So that's a website. So this website is having very critical information. So as you can see, it's about a chocolate banking website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about all trading white, black chocolate, milk chocolate. That's
store your chocolate recipes in here.
Yeah,
that's just one very, big very deliciousness.
Or those little chocolate coins that you used to get when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Those are valuable.
I miss
those. Yeah. It's that money. It's that kind of currency.
That kind of money. That's tasty money.
Yeah, I hear this currency is pretty big in Switzerland, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Okay, so the demo is about, so I'm about to try to enter my account section on the website. So then if you just have a look at the URL, you see I'm just hitting an access control website, so using Windows Azure.
And this is the standard ACS image.
Yeah, here's nothing fancy.
You
can have your own layout, but here I'm just going to select a provider. So this provider is actually mine. This is the one that I built, which actually used this specific QR code to get you logged in. So then I'm just going to take my phone.
Okay, before you do that, Brady and I are going to put our hands up to show that there's no demo magic going on, because we couldn't quite zoom into the phone.
Right.
But
okay, so the only thing I'm going to do, so I have this famous app on my phone, which is QR Code Validator. I'm just going to launch it. And then I'm just going to come on the screen, and I'm going to scan. And it's already scanned. You see registration in progress.
Cool.
So it's actually pinging the site. And there we go.
That is very cool.
That is
very
awesome.
Very cool.
So you didn't touch a keyboard.
No. I didn't need, I mean, that's no mistyping, no typing at all.
Wow.
Which is great, because that, yeah, to tie back to what we were talking about earlier, if you are out in the public, you know, you see all those spy movies and they're like, we're going to spray down the keypad and we're going to see the last five things that were, the past things that were typed on the keyboard,
because
yeah. the oil on your skin gets left behind. Now you don't have to worry about that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You would find other Google search or something like that have been typed on the keyboard, but
so we did this demo with the other MVPs that were in the room just a moment ago, and they kind of had the same reaction that I had. And the first question that was asked was, "How are you? Like, you're on that login page. Once you scan the thing,
Like, you don't do anything, it just logs you into the site. Yeah. How are you actually doing that? What are you doing to actually log them in at that point?
Yeah, so from that we can just, I'm just going to stop it, just can just jump a bit into the code perhaps to understand how this is happening. So we're going to start with, with the phone, perhaps first, to actually understand what the phone is doing. It's pretty simple. I don't have that much code over here. So if you have a look here, I have a few things which are around the camera management, which are using the Xing library, which is about scanning QR codes and so on.
Cool.
So I didn't do it myself, actually. So I'm scanning it. So once I'm actually able to get the information from the QR code, the thing I'm going to do, I have a bit of code over here. So I'm actually building the URL from the parameters of the website.
Okay.
So that's the relative URL which is used on my example. Mm-hmm. Here I'm just building a request and so on. I have a few lines over here which are actually building and signing the data. So here I first build the information. So I build the tick, so I said for the timing, the session which is referring to from the QR code to, and the thumbprint of the current certificate.
Nice.
Which you see over here.
Which is then on the phone. So that's actually, why it's like uber secure, because it's all on the phone. You'd have to have the certificate.
Plus the fact that we didn't mention that, but on Windows Phone 8, you can also activate BitLocker, which can even make the information which you're actually storing on your phone even more secure.
Nice.
See, I didn't even know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool. Is that Windows Phone 8 specific?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. So you could BitLocker your phone, put the certificate that you got from some authority in your organization on your phone. It's sort of unhackable unless you lose your phone, in which case you better have a key code in your phone.
Yeah, so, of course.
So you have to log into your phone, and you're going to add a feature so that you have to log into the app. So you log into the phone, you log into the app. That's like 9-factor authentication. That's pretty good. I like that.
So just to re-clarify for the folks out there, it's the public key that's sitting on the phone, right?
Right.
No, the private key.
It's the private
key. It's the private key.
Okay.
Because it's the user which is responsible of his identity. So in some ways, his phone, which is actually used to sign the data, and the public key on the server. And that's kind of, you don't have the key on the server, so nobody can hack the server to actually get the key out for this user and to enforce authentication from another form factor or device to actually enter the system.
Cool. Nice.
The only thing the server can do is verify that the user is okay or not.
Right, right. That's pretty cool. That's fantastic.
So, in fact, all the magic is just happening over here. I just get the data, I sign it, and I get the signed hash. And then afterwards, I just get this hash. This is my first part of the data, and I just add the hash at the end. So that's about it for the phone.
Nice.
That's
cool.
Not that complicated.
Nice.
I just want to mention perhaps one library that I used also over here, which is called Script,
with
a Y.
With a Y,
which is a Silverlight port of using certificates, and that actually enables you to use private keys on Windows Phone.
Nice. Cool. Nice. Cool.
So very handy. I have to ask, is it open source?
It's on CodePlex.
It's on CodePlex. Yeah. Cool.
Oh, what, this whole thing, or just script?
Just the part which is taking care of the script.
Okay, cool.
Script. Cool.
So actually looking at on how I can be bringing that inside of CodePlex, that's something to see later.
Cool.
That was going to be my follow-up at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So that was about the phone. Let me just now have a look at the STS, so the Security Token Service. So there's a bit much more code in there, because we're just talking about a view inside of the phone that's pretty small. So here, as I was saying, so I have like the default home view, which has no security at all, and I have the account view. So in this account view, I have just here I have the barcode, which is displayed. Right. I just used the view back because I was getting lazy. I'm a developer.
It's quick and easy.
That's okay.
So
we like dynamic code. That's good.
So then when I'm just doing over here, in fact, it's pretty simple still. I just have my my login method here. So I just generate my QR code. And you see here I have the current URL of my site, plus the session ID that I'm actually getting out of it. And then I'm actually building the string as, that's kind of funny, as a base64 image inside of the stream of the page, not to make multiple calls. So that's gone with one. And
nice.
Nice. That's it. So that's the first part. So then when you actually scan your barcode and then the phone go and ping the websites, this is this validate session method that I have over here. So I just try to get from the data I'm getting the auth. I'm getting the user information. Okay. So that's perhaps the most interesting part. And then I'm just having a look if the user is real and if I actually have a match in the current sessions that I have on my server, I'll actually let the user go in.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
And I see down there you've got connectionmanager.github context. Are you actually using SignalR to do the forwarding over to the last site?
Exactly. What you saw when I was actually scanning on the screen was that I didn't do any refresh or anything on the server. Mm-hmm. It just actually gets redirected to the login page without anything special.
Cool.
That's actually what's happening. I'm then using this hub context and using, as you can see here, this specific client to actually ping only this client to receive the information.
Nice, cool. Nice. That's awesome.
So that's the most interesting part I was talking about. So this method is perhaps a bit bigger than the other, mm-hmm. but that's where the magic is coming on. So I'm getting the tick, as I was saying. I'm doing, I like these kind of things. I'm doing an absolute value on the tick. So then I can see whatever it was 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after, because, you know, sometimes the timing on phones or whatever is not perfectly aligned. So for the demos, it was just 5 minutes. It could be 1, 30 seconds, up to you. Then I try to query the information to get the thumbprint from the user profile. So I'm actually using the simple membership provider that I just overrided to use this and to enter the thumbprint inside of the profile.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Then I just get the bytes of this certificate, and what I try to do is that I actually sign again with the public key, which is here. I do a verify data, which actually is going to rebuild with the data to try to verify the hash that I got from the server for this specific data.
Mm, cool. And that's awesome.
Yeah. So then if it's good, I give back the user. If not, something went wrong, so...
Nothing for you.
Yeah, nothing for you, exactly.
That's good stuff. That's fantastic. And you're bouncing all that off of ACS, I presume, right, to do all the auth?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, everything is bound to ACS.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's about the federation aspect that I've been working on federation for quite a while, and that's I've always been looking at some ways, let's say, to make federation interesting or appealing to people, because when you actually get to, especially these days when you get to server-side things, people are more intent to actually do client-side because it's more, it's fancier, I would say. So server is like people working in a cave. Or I actually don't work in a cave. I have a nice view about the mountains in Switzerland, so that's pretty neat.
Nice.
I know Vittorio is going to be very, very excited about this. Vittorio, who I call the Fabio of identity. And we're going to get a picture in for sure.
It's your funeral, not mine.
I know. But I don't know. It's Vittorio will be really excited to see something like this. And I mean, like, everyone loves chocolate, so how can you not love this demo?
Actually, Vittorio doesn't love chocolate. He's on that, like, no-carb thing.
That is true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. That's why, you know, everyone loves the chocolate piece, Vittorio loves the identity
piece. That's
good stuff.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I actually want to run it again, and I want to do it this time, so we absolutely guarantee that there's no, Mind Freak. What's his name?
Chris Angel?
Yeah, there's no Chris Angel going on here. So I actually want to try it. So
Brady's going to levitate to do
you
the demo.
You want to do it yourself?
Yeah, let's run it again, and
okay,
I'll just hit play,
so you can get the phone perhaps just locked. So I just unlock it for you.
And you guys know I'm not smart enough to have coded this or to write a trick with it, so you can trust this.
Okay, so here's the app. I just opened for you the app. It's here. I just give you the phone.
Not to push
anything. So I'm just going to open again the ACS with the code. You can just go, you need to be,
Okay.
A bit. Yeah, here we go. So registration and them.
Cool. Successful. Wow.
Cool. Here we go.
And all it does on the phone, if you couldn't see because we weren't zooming in, all it says is login successful and there's a button. and it says it as soon as it scans.
That's just an alert box, right?
Yeah, and yeah. And I look down and I see the button, and by the, before I can click the button, I look back up and we're logged in.
That's good, actually. That's the awesome. Best I can do.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. So have you implemented this in any enterprises?
Or we are, we are actually building a product.
Nice.
We are trying to build a product on top of that. To actually, in the same way, let's say, with your bring your own device aspect. So you have your laptop on your own company, which is actually strongly authenticated because it is in the domain and so on. And you actually go on some portal. And on this portal, you say, I want to register a device. You have this information displayed as a QR code. You scan it. Your phone is provisioned. But it can be only provisioned with your account,
nice.
With your laptop. And then when you go out, you have this kind of key which matches to your identity, and you can go wherever you want and still use your system.
That's awesome.
In a strongly authenticated manner.
Awesome.
That's really, really cool. Is the, here's a dumb question, is the QR code different every time the page loads, or is it, or is it the same for each user?
It's different because the ticks change. So let's say if you can refresh the page like crazy,
yeah.
Like in 1 second you display it five times, it's going to be the same.
Right.
Because for this session, which is the one in the browser, and for this second, the key which is inside of the QR code is this one.
So you could get hacked for 5 seconds at a time?
Not really, no.
Right.
Because still you need to have the certificate.
Yeah. You need to search.
That's, sure. I mean, that's as long awesome. As you don't, as long as you don't know how to enter the site actually, to how do you sign the information and so on, there's no way you can get in.
That's awesome. This is one of the neatest demos we've had on webcams. That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Just remember that we got you the audience whenever.
Especially MVPs. I mean, because we are all technical folks, having the approval or the appraisal from people which are already technical, it's even. I mean, it's even better. I would say.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure
very,
that,
very good.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that Benjamin would like to hear what you have to say. So please use the comments board, which are right down there. Please use the comments board to let us know what you think, to suggest other features to Benjamin. I'm sure he'd be willing to listen.
Yeah.
And we're going to put his Twitter handle, which I believe you have.
Yeah, it's it's Bisoulier.
Okay. Okay.
So it spells Bisoulier.
Okay. 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 And we'll put that on the down there. So actually, where is it on the page? Somewhere. It'll be on the page.
Yeah, around the video somewhere.
Cool. Awesome.
It's down.
It's down. Yeah. Okay. So it's under the
right above
video.
The comment section, right below the video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you had it all figured out.
So before you write a comment, tweet Benjamin, let him know what you thought. And as usual, if you have any questions for us, feel free to ping us either on Twitter or using the comments board. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for you for letting me the opportunity to
no problem.
To show you this chocolate thing.
That's awesome. It was our pleasure. I'm actually excited to see what Damien and David have to say about this use of Signal. Are they like seeing new ways to use it? They'll probably dig this. So that'll be neat. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I do. Just around, I always have something to add. Come on. just around the strong passwords. I really like viewing XKCD comics, and they had a really, I guess you could call them comics. They had a really good kind of mathematical equation to say, you know, here's the things that you think are strong passwords, but it's actually easier to write 4 random words.
Right.
So we'll put a link off to that comic because I think it kind of applies here.
That's true. That's true.
It'll be worth it.
This is awesome. I wish you the best of luck with this.
Thank you very much.
And if you want to buy them out, comments. So, thanks a lot for coming. We actually have a couple of episodes lined up this week during MVP week. I think we might stagger their release dates, but tomorrow or the next day, we're actually going to have John Papa on the show to talk about spa applications.
Former softie.
Yeah, so that'll be good. We might have the Glimpse guys on if they can fit into the calendar. They're pretty busy as well. But he probably has rock stars that he has to go attend to right now that are doing other presentations that he probably wants to be at. So we're going to go ahead and cut it off here and let you get back to your busy MVP schedule.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you
guys for tuning in.